Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Nahum chapter 2, I finished with my announcements. So listen as today we start the week with Nahum chapter 2, verses 8 through 10.
Plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Now let's go to Nahum chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10 as we continue in this study. As I said, I put these verses together and this one little section, I entitled it Riches to Rags. Now, you may think, well, you have it wrong. Shouldn't you say rags to riches? Well, I do understand that. That's an old famous story that people like to tell, somebody going from rags to riches. I've actually known of a man that did that and then later gave his life to the Lord and went on the mission field, and those riches helped to support him instead of having to depend on churches. But you know, we have people say, well, I understand perfectly riches to rags, because that's the way it was for us after the kids came. Okay, so we understand that as well. But actually, riches to rags is the story of our text. There are riches, then the robbers come in until they're left with rags. Well, let's look at our text, and let's see the progression. I'm going to just read verses 8 through 10, then we'll just go back to verses 8 through 10. He says, but Nineveh is of old like a pool of water, yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye a spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melted, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. And so, as you read those verses, that's something as it just kind of goes right along here in this text. But going back to verse 8, he says, but Nineveh of old is like a pool of water, yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Now, when he says Nineveh of old, this pictures Nineveh in her glory as the nations tremble at her presence, as she comes with her armies and they plunder and pillage. And we saw some of that in the day of Hezekiah when Sennacherib comes against them and everybody's afraid. And so what happens with them is simply that God kills 185,000 of the Syrian army, of Sennacherib's army. And by the way, the Assyrian kingdom belonged to Sennacherib, but Nineveh is the capital of it. And so he goes back, he gets killed by his sons, and another son takes over that kingdom. And it doesn't last a whole lot longer after that. But she had pillaged until she was rich. She plundered various lands until she was increased with goods and pleasures. Their pleasures would be on the line of you'd think of the morality and the level of a Las Vegas, perhaps a Hollywood, maybe a San Francisco. Some of that was part of those things that went on in that place. And it says that she is a pool of water here in verse 8. Now, that is interesting because that pictures for us a pool of water that is setting in one place as one looks across the field and sees a pond. It's clear as crystal, unmoved as if it is spring fed. It reflects the sun or reflects the moon. It's very tranquil. It's a very beautiful repast to just sit there. It's one that anyone would feel great, feel relaxed, would feel safe. It's a peaceful setting is the idea. It's kind of a setting that you think of a young man proposing to a young lady, or just a place to meditate as far as the peace, the peaceful setting. And that's what's trying to show us, the peaceful setting of this place, because they feel completely safe. But what I want you to understand, there is absolutely no safe haven on earth, nor in the skies, when once the hand of the Almighty begins to move in judgment. As in the last days, when they say peace, peace, and there is no peace. I think of the passage in Proverbs 29:1, he that been often reproved. Why is he often reproved? Because he doesn't repent, he doesn't change, he's enjoying his sin, he's living in his sin, and he goes on in his sin. He's often reproved for it. Then what happens? Then the Bible says, he that been often reproved hardeneth his neck. He just gets harder to it. He might have listened one time, now it gets harder. Hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It'd be too quick to do anything about it. Jesus comes back, people raptured, those left behind, it's too late for them that to go up with the rapture. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus comes back in the clouds. They see him coming in war. It's too late. At the white throne judgment, getting ready to be cast to that eternal lake of fire, it is too late. And so, it happens like that. And the Lord moves in judgment. Now here in our text of verse 8 here of Nahum chapter 2, the riches are as a bird that taketh it in his mouth and flies away. And their own hand is insufficient to retain what they built in Nineveh, regardless of its greatness and the greatness of their power to establish and obtain it. They never had to fight the Lord of hosts. All Nineveh fought many armies and won, but they never fought the Lord of hosts. In this case, the Lord brought armies, but those armies needed the hand of God to send a flood of waters to bring down the walls, because they could not break down their wall. So God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, calls up a storm, fills it with water, and just takes out their wall. Their walls were wide and powerfully built. You could actually ride a horse and chariot on top of it. And it was so strong, so much so that men had tried to break in and couldn't. They thought it was impregnable. But regardless of the greatness of the enemy, again, you have to remember one thing. Luke 1:37, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, think of the context of that, of Luke 1:37. Mary is talking to the angel Gabriel. She's just been told that she will bear this child that will be called the Son of God, Emmanuel. And she says, how shall this thing be, seeing that I know not a man? Well, he would tell her that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, and that the holy thing that shall be born of her would be called the Son of God. But you see, she thought, well, I've got to have a human man that impregnates me. No. God would simply by His Holy Spirit put seed inside of Mary. And that wasn't a sexual thing. That was just a spirit moving inside, because God can do anything. And would begin to, with that seed that He created and placed inside of Mary, and He created it perhaps inside of Mary, then He began to form that baby over the next 9 months. A virgin birth. A virgin birth. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, no, my friend. How could He take Mary, a poor girl, a girl who would later have to offer a sin offering for her own self? How could He take a young lady like that and make her a vessel for His only begotten Son? I don't know, but He does. He does. Well, we're told that the walls are destroyed, and now their mighties flee away. And again, you think about that. Their mighties flee away. Oh, yes. They are the worthies of verse 5. They were the great and gallant as well as the powerful. The word here used is the one used of the warriors. Warriors who returned from the battle and stood above the rest. They had been the valiant heroes of the army. Oh, everybody thought, man, these guys are great. Look at them. Boy, they are tremendous. And who can stand against these guys? And really, nobody would be able to stand against these guys under normal conditions. I mean, these are tremendous men. They are the men that were their mighties. They stood out above the rest. Now the people, though, women and children, they're there and they're crying, "Stand! Stand!" Right there in verse 8. Stand, stand. Why are they crying, "Stand, stand"? Well, these worthies are cowards. They don't look back, nor have a hint of remorse for not looking back. They know what they did in other places to women and children while they killed the men. Now the tables are turned. They know what happens in that situation. They leave those women and children to fend for themselves. They're there crying, "Stand, stand! Don't leave us! Don't forget us!" You see, riches and pleasures mean so very little.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet.